Wisconsin's Afternoon News is on the air, broadcasting live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue in beautiful downtown Milwaukee. Here are your hosts, John McCure and Julia Fellow.
Do you like surprises?
Yes, I do.
I got a big surprise, and it's a happy one. Coming up at 4:45 on WTMJ. First, a good ghost story is really a history lesson, and one Milwaukee historian is digging past the shadows to unearth the forgotten people and tragic events that still haunt the city. Here's WTMJ's Debbie Lazaga.
On the edge of the village stood an abandoned house. The kind children dared each other to approach after dark. One stormy evening, Emma wandered too close. Through the cracked window, she thought she saw a flicker of light, then a pale face staring back.
The best ghost stories aren't just about things that go bump in the night. They're about the people and events we've forgotten. For historian and tour developer for American Ghost Walks, Allison Jornlin, finding a ghost story is less about the chills and more about unearthing the lost history in places like Milwaukee.
And that's one of the reasons why I do what I do. And one of the ways that people have remembered others, the dearly departed, is through ghost stories.
Allison's research goes beyond sensational headlines. She digs into old newspapers, library books, and archives, turning over every stone to find the truth behind the haunting. She sees the places she researches as brimming with palpable history. Take the Irish Cultural Heritage Center, a building that once hosted figures like Martin Luther King Jr. in 1957 and Helen Keller in 1914.
I started to research the history of the building and found a lot of articles in the Old Milwaukee Journal, Old Milwaukee Sentinel, about the place, and learned that Martin Luther King had spoke there and that Helen Keller had spoken there. And that, to me, I know that's just the history part, but to me that really brought the building alive, especially in the case of Dr. King. I could feel his resonance as I read those words that he spoke to the congregation about the Montgomery bus boycott. So it really brought history alive for me.
Allison insists that the history must be authentic, focusing on verifiable events even when they're tragic.
It's important that we know about the past, like the Lady Elgin disaster in 1860, for example. And the Newhall House fire of 1883, that we still talk about these tragedies that shaped Milwaukee history. We don't forget about them.
Not all of Allison's discoveries are from the 19th century. One of the more compelling stories she's uncovered revolves around the Milwaukee Public Museum and its former director, Dr. Stephen Borhage, who died in a car crash in 1969.
People at the museum really felt that loss of Dr. Borhage, but they didn't have to wait long until strange things started to happen, where the elevator, for example, instead of defaulting to the first floor, the elevator would oftentimes stop at the third floor or the fourth floor, even though no one had pushed the button.
The third and fourth floors housed his collections and office, but a chilling experience was shared by a curator.
She had been walking down the hallway on the third floor, just past the shrunken heads. And she was stopped in her tracks by this freezing pressure that pressed through her body. The colleague said, "Oh, that's just how Dr. Borhage likes to say hello."
Ultimately for Allison, confronting the ghostly is no different than meeting the living.
I think we may carry on after we die, and just like people you meet on the street every day, it's rare that you'll really find someone malevolent. Most living people are very kind, and I think most ghosts are very kind because they're just deceased people.
These are all the authentic stories from the community, the histories we just can't afford to let fade. Debbie Lazaga, WTMJ News.
And Debbie's with us. Hey, Deb, why is it that so many people are really into ghost stories? Is it kind of related to the trend of true crime? What is it?
Yeah, I think it's partly related to that. I think it also has to do with the fact that, you know, when you scare, everybody loves a good story, right?
True, yeah.
But when you get scared. I mean, I had done some research on horror stories. A few years back, I did a story with Melissa Barclay, who made a quick appearance in this story. But, we had, checked out all the different haunted houses around the area.
Yeah.
And it was really about, you know, scaring yourself, but it was still kind of safe. This is just the next step. of getting, like, scaring yourself because these stories could be true, or are they?
Yeah.
Or, you know, all that stuff. And it's just, you know, it ramps up a little bit more of the adrenaline with it. So
fun.
It is interesting. If you want to hear the whole piece and you didn't catch it, it's really easy. Go to our podcast page. Text the word WAN to 855-616-1620. Debbie's piece will show up there. Thanks, Deb. It's 413 at WTMJ. Traffic and weather up next.
From sidelines to the studios and everything in between, no one brings you closer to the action.
Micah Parsons is on the trajectory to a first ballot Hall of Fame. That's the trajectory he's on, just plain and simple what it is.
It's time to get caught up on the green and gold with today's insider, ESPN's Alex Stroff, on Wisconsin's Afternoon News.
What the hell's going on?
Alex, thank you so much for being here with us.
2 days in a row. I'm just having way too much fun with you guys. I'm never going to leave you alone.
The professor. You got glasses on today, and you look good.
Thank you, John. I appreciate the compliment. Yeah, my eyes have been hurting me a little bit. I don't know if it's the contacts
me
or
too.
What. So it might be allergy season. I'm not sure. So I went to the glasses today.
I like it.
I don't pretend to be smart, but I can pretend to look smart.
You look smart.
Are you waking up them all night and doing eye drops because it's so dry, or what's going on with your eyes?
No, it's just I don't know if it's the contacts, if I'm overdue for a switch. I don't know. I'm lazy, Julia, so that's probably more of the issue than anything.
Mine are so dry.
Hey, I know it's going around for sure.
Isn't it?
Hey, I want to ask you about a guy we don't talk a lot about, but he got a lot of hype, especially earlier in the year. Matthew Golden.
Yeah.
Young guy, still figuring out the system, clearly very athletic, not a lot of impact so far. When you look at Matthew Golden and his role on the team as we sit here during this snapshot, what do you have to say about Matthew Golden?
It's interesting to break down because he's a guy who, to your point, John, is full of talent, great speed, obviously a good guy that they want in that room, but hasn't been super productive. A couple weeks ago, he had an 80-yard game. But other than that, it's kind of been minimal for him. Only three catches for, I think, 3 or 4 yards on Sunday against Pittsburgh. It's a guy Matt LaFleur has been asked a lot about, and he constantly says, you know, I want to spread the ball around. I want everybody to get theirs. But when it comes to Matthew Golden, you got to think Jaden Reed hasn't played since week two. Dontavian Wicks hasn't been playing the last couple weeks. Last week was the first time we saw Christian Watson, yet the first-round rookie hasn't made what I would call a significant impact. So I imagine that's a guy they want to feature more in upcoming weeks, but so far not so good for him. But we'll see. He's been on the field. He's played the slot. He's played outside. I would guess we'll get more of him as the season goes on in his first year. But you're right. It's kind of been a mystery the last couple of weeks.
Can we talk about the outfits that they're going to wear at this?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, let's talk about it. I want your opinion before you ask me any sort of question.
They're going to wear the 1923 Westbound 94 uniforms.
Yes.
Against the Carolina Panthers. Isn't that fun, John?
It is fun.
John was probably alive for 1923, right?
I just said how handsome you looked, and now I get some of that. I like it. I like it. I do like it. What do you think, Julia?
I think it's fantastic. I love that it was hand-painted by an artist, and then they replicated it. You know, the leather helmets, you don't think of the way that they used to play the game like that.
Do you like the leather helmet on an actual helmet? Because I think it looks dumb, I'm going to be honest with you.
Yeah, like the fake leather on
it? Yeah.
Well, you know, it's okay. It's okay. What do you want? Like CG or something?
Well, you're more fashion forward than Alex or I. Yeah, so correct. I mean, I'm gonna defer to you on this.
Honestly, if it was the real leather, then it may have been a little more cushioned for them.
Let's see how tough they are. Let's put them back out there in leather helmets.
Right? Yeah.
Let's test that.
I bet the concussion committee would love that idea.
Yeah. Whole team would be in the blue tent.
In all seriousness, because you know you are always up there in the Tundra Trio, and you know how much Lambeau Field is so amazing. USA Today and Sports Illustrated ranked Lambeau Field number one among all 30 stadiums to come up. To put it nicely, they said, to sum it up, football, Lambeau Field is football.
Yep. Bingo.
Isn't that amazing?
It is amazing. I'm not surprised by that ranking one bit. It's the best atmosphere in professional sports, in my opinion. I mean, how many NFL stadiums can you go to and walk up the street and you're in a neighborhood drinking beer in a backyard? Because I think the answer to that would be one. And that would be Lambeau Field, which makes it so unique. So, I grew up in Green Bay. I grew up on the east side of Green Bay. So I grew up, you know, not far from Lambeau Field. My first job was at Lids in the mall up the street from Lambeau Field.
Yeah.
So Yeah, a lot of good memories up there, and obviously we were lucky enough to work up there for every home game. But, I mean, the atmosphere is unmatched, and you always hear from visiting fans, which always makes me so proud of our Midwest Nice We show. But yep. Visiting fans come in, they go, I've never had an experience like this. I've never met opposing fans that are so nice. Mm-hmm. I was reading things from people in Pittsburgh that said, Green Bay fans are the best. And yeah. You don't see any videos on Twitter of people fist fighting when Green Bay comes to town. So that's always something to be proud of for Packers fans.
And there's a sports betting site, and they say that Lambeau Field provides the best pregame experience, tailgating, stadium location, accessibility, the nearby entertainment, the family friendliness.
Seriously, if you're hungry and you walk up an alley in the Lambeau Field parking lot, three different people are going to offer to feed you. It's unlike anywhere else.
Doesn't he have the best job? Because when there's home games, he gets to be right
there. Oh, he's got a great job.
It's a pretty cool job.
He's Alex Strove. Panthers. What should we worry about with the Panthers? Should we worry about the Panthers? A big point spread in this game.
So, it is. It's bigger than I expected, to be real honest with you. And look, it's the NFL. And I feel like we've talked about this before in the last couple of weeks. This year feels like the gap between Team 1 and Team 32 is smaller than it's been in past years. It feels like anybody can beat anybody. That goes back to a couple weeks ago when Cleveland beat Green Bay. Nobody saw that coming, but you go to Cleveland and you lose. And then you tie at Dallas, who had one of the worst defenses in the league at the time. So, and it's a dog-eat-dog type lead. Anybody can beat anybody. But you're back at home where you're undefeated this year. You seem to be hitting kind of your stride. Is it a trap game? Sure, you could define it that way, despite Carolina being 4-4 at 500 on the year. But the Packers are clearly on paper the better team, and that's why the point spread is what it is, and they're at home. So we will see.
The injury report that just came out.
Yeah, it's lengthy, but there's not a ton of huge names on that for either team.
Or guys that are likely to miss the game, it looks like, when you look at the report.
Right. I think for the Packers, the big ones to keep an eye on are Lucas Van Ness, the former first-round pick on the defensive line, and then Dontavian Wicks, who hasn't played in the last couple of weeks with that calf injury for Green Bay. But other than that, nothing too crazy for Green Bay. They're getting healthy. That early bye week, obviously, is going to hurt them later in the year, but right now it looks like it's helpful for the most part. So, I mean, the point spread is, I haven't looked at it, but 12.5 the last time I saw it. That's a big point spread.
That's a big point. They don't feel like they're 4-4, Alex. They just don't feel like a 4-4 football team.
Granted, I haven't watched a ton of the Panthers this year, but I know their quarterback, the former number one overall pick, Bryce Young from Alabama, he's been kind of in and out of their lineup. Looks like he will start for them this week. But Andy Dalton, that's a name you might recognize. The Red Rifle used to.
Old Andy. Wow.
He played the Badgers in the Rose Bowl in, I think it was 2011 for TCU. And he's still in the league, so he could play quarterback for them if Bryce Young doesn't go. But they have a good run defense. They have a good defense pretty much overall. So we'll see what the Packers offense is made of. As I said, it kind of seems like they've hit their stride. So we will see.
The professor, Alex Strove, the host of Green Bay Game Day. Alex, thank you so much.
Thanks, guys. We'll talk to you next week.
An amazing trip to Southeast Asia that I just wrapped up with listeners. Had 20 listeners. It was really, really an amazing, amazing trip. So one of the cool things that we did was, I do a lot of veteran work, a lot of work with veterans charities and Honor Flight, and you're going to be on the Honor Flight on Saturday.
Yes, I'll be covering it, and I'll bring you all the action. I'm going to report on it.
I'm really excited for you to be there. So on the Honor Flight, we meet a lot of veterans that were veterans of the Vietnam War. That's most of our veterans these days. And I had the unique opportunity on this trip with listeners in Vietnam, in Ho Chi Minh City, to meet with a veteran of the Viet Cong Air Force. That's who the United States was fighting, the North Vietnamese. So I wanted to bring in, it's kind of hard to understand, but I'm going to help you through it. I wanted to bring you some of our conversation we had as a group with this guy. Hung Mai is his name. He was in the Viet Cong Air Force. He was a colonel. He's now 83 years old. And pretty incredibly, he talked to us about some incidents during the war all those years ago. What you're going to hear here at the beginning is his voice, and then as it pots down, you'll hear the interpreter helping us understand it. This is him talking about a day in 1972 when he was in a dogfight with a U.S. Air Force jet. There were 35 U.S. jets. There were two from Vietnam. He was one of them. One of the jets, his wingman, got scared and bailed out. It left him, Hung Mai, alone in the air over Hanoi, and he shot down one of the 35 U.S. planes, and I asked him about that day.
Có lẽ ngày đấy cái ngày nhớ nhất trong đời tôi.
This is one of my most memorable day in my life.
One of his most memorable days, he shoots down an F-4, which was a lot more advanced. Eventually, he met the American pilot who he shot down over Vietnam. The pilot survived. The pilot got out of the jet. So he was one of the first to shoot down a U.S. pilot. This guy who we talked to, he's a hero in Vietnam. He flew thousands of missions, relentless. Some days, many, many missions. That didn't happen for the U.S. pilots, but he would sometimes fly over and over and over. He told us about it.
During that time, we don't have many pilots. So sometimes he just landed, haven't got time to get out from the cabin yet. He pumped the gas and fly again. We have no choice. We still have to fight.
Still had to fight. By the way, if you want to see a picture of Hung Mai, who we're talking about, text the word watch. You can see this Vietnamese hero who fought against the Americans. His perspective was fascinating. Text the word watch to 855-616-1620, and you can see the picture. So eventually, as the war went on, he, Hung Mai, was shot down by an American pilot. He ejected, broke both of his arms, was severely injured, was never able to fly again. He survived. And so one of the last things we asked him was, as we sat in his living room, we visited with him in his home in Ho Chi Minh City, how he felt about Americans. He says he has no animosity towards America or Americans.
American people, you are the same. You are not the one who make the war.
It was a fascinating conversation, Julia. This guy who's a hero over there who fought against us, and to get his perspective.
So eye-opening when you look at war and the aftermath and decades later. Oh,
it
my
gosh.
It
was amazing.
Okay, so it was 17 planes, right?
Yeah.
Versus, wait, how many planes?
Yeah, 17. There were 35, and there were two of them, so 17 on one. Yeah. Yeah, and he
and
escaped.
And then his guy bailed?
Yeah, his guy went and landed.
That would be like me doing the show and you just bailing on
and
me.
Just walking out. Yeah, exactly.
Oh!
And he was 22 years old when that happened, so it was a fascinating
That's
conversation.
Amazing.
It is 4:42 at WTMJ. By the way, we also visited the Hanoi Hilton prison. That's where Hao Lao prison it's called. That's where Lance Saigon died, and you're wearing a bracelet from that prison.
Thank you for that.
Oh, you're welcome.
And who made these by the...
They were made by the families of people that work at the prison, and they want us to remember the things that happened in that prison. That's where Lance Saigon died.
Thank you so much
and,
for bringing that
Well,
back.
You helped us tell the Saigon story, so you're welcome. 4:42 at WTMJ. I've got a big announcement. It's fun. I've been waiting to tell you guys about this for several days. That's up next on WTMJ.
This is fun. You can text WATCH to 855-616-1620. WATCH to our setting limited talk and text line. You'll see Aurora Healthcare's tiniest trick-or-treaters. They stole the show this Halloween.
So cute.
Little Miracle from Oshkosh enchanted everyone dressed in a mini black velvet Wednesday Addams dress, complete with a white collar baby-sized braid pigtails
and the cutest
serious Wednesday scare. And the, you know, the hand
that was round
is right next to her.
Uh-huh.
Coming in second is Jace from Sheboygan, rocking some soft gray mouse ears, tiny brown belly patch, and a plush pumpkin prop. Channeling Gus Gus from Cinderella.
So cute. All right, text the word watch to 855-616-1620. We're going to put one more picture up here. This is my special announcement. 855-616-1620. We have beautiful pictures of Julia. I'm a granddad now.
Oh, my God.
And we haven't talked about it yet. This is a picture of Theodore John. Theodore John, my beautiful daughter, Amy. You can see holding Theodore John in one of the pictures.
Oh, his middle name's John?
Yeah. Isn't that sweet? And Walter, my son-in-law, my awesome son-in-law, is there. So text the word watch to 855-616-1620. You can see pictures of Theodore John. It's our first grand.
How do you feel?
So, overwhelmed.
Congrats,
excited.
Papa.
Thank you. So that's what I'm going by. I am Papa.
I was going to say, that's an important decision to make.
I'm Papa, and Michelle is Mimi.
Mimi. Oh,
so
cute.
Papa and Mimi. I'm going to ask for your help really quick right here. Advice. What should I be thinking about? What's the most important thing for being a good Papa? 855-616-1620. Text the word watch to that number if you want to see pictures of my grandson. And also text me some advice. What should I do to make sure that I'm a good papa? What should I be thinking about? 855-616-1620. I want to show you one more thing. So the pictures will keep scrolling, but Isaac, let's, for people who are watching, and a lot of people watch the show. This is the best gift
that
I've gotten.
That is so great.
Look at this. This is a baby onesie.
It's a
Can
onesie,
you see what it
620
says?
WTMJ onesie.
Julia got this for Theodore.
It's the youngest
Theodore.
Employee.
Yay!
At 620.
How cute is this little thing?
I know.
Oh, my God. I got goosebumps right now.
You have to send that in. You know, I'm just so happy for you, John, because I want the world to be a better place. And if we have more little Johns in the world.
You're going to make me cry.
No, seriously. It makes me just so excited. I know that you're such a good person, and you're going to be such a great grandfather. And boy, that little boy is so alert.
Look at those baby cheeks. They're so cute.
Beautiful
Thank
baby.
Thank you for saying that. Look at, text the word watch to 855-616-1620. My daughter, finally, I've been sitting on my hands all week, and she said, yeah, Dad, you can tell the world that Theodore John is here.
So beautiful. So text 855-616-1620 for some advice for John as a grandparent. Some good advice, because he's going to be doing a lot of watching of baby Theo. Is it Theo or Theodore?
They're calling him Theo. It's Theodore John, but Theo, I think they'll call him Teddy or TJ, any little nickname, but he's Theodore
TJ.
John.
Oh, we got somebody on the line. Who are you and where are you from?
Okay, hold
Hi.
On. Hello?
Hi.
Hi. Oh. We're from New York, and we have your newest and youngest listener.
He's oh, been my gosh.
Life.
This is my Walter and my beautiful baby girl, my baby girl, Amy. Oh, my gosh.
Congratulations.
And
oh, you guys. Thank you for taking the time to call. How's Theodore doing?
He's good. He's sleeping away. Not that that is any commentary on your show. He just sleeps.
I have to tell you, you need to make many, many, many more babies. Because... Oh. Because you make the most beautiful babies, you two.
Thank you.
How's Theo sleeping? How did he sleep last night?
He's a good sleeper so far.
Yep, good eater too.
Yeah.
How much are you dying for John and his beautiful wife, Papa and Mimi?
Papa and Mimi
to meet little Theo.
We're very excited. We did just have my sister, Kiera, in town pretty much since he was born. So she's been phenomenal having her here, and we're excited for Mimi and Papa.
So you know what this means. So Kiera went home today. This is going to be your first night where there's no help in the house.
Yeah. Yep.
No surprise. Did you hear that?
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, I know. Thanks, Dad.
Are you guys nervous? Are you excited? Like, you're going to be on your own now. This is Mom and Dad, Amy and Walter, with Teddy, Theo. What? How are you feeling?
Tired.
No kidding, yeah. Right? How did you feel when you first held your baby boy for the first time?
Relief. Definitely. Relief and surprise, even though, you know, you carry him for 9 months, it felt unreal. I was like, I can't believe that he's a real person.
Right. Like an out-of-body experience.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if I told people as part of the segment, but Theo was a big boy. Theo was born at 7 pounds, 15 ounces, so just under 8 pounds. Amy, how long was Theo? Do they still do that?
They do. He was 20.5 inches.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Is that
strong long? Like bull.
Yeah. So Walter, you were telling Michelle and I leading into the birth of the baby that you wanted to make sure the baby was sturdy. I think you were worried about breaking the baby. Is Theo sturdy? Yeah.
Oh, he's very sturdy. He makes sure that he's making sure that we know he's doing well.
Oh. So, oh my gosh! Strong. And what a full head of hair! My goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And does he have blue eyes?
He does.
Oh, that's so good.
They may be gray, so we're hoping they stay blue.
Oh,
that's
so
amazing,
nice.
You guys.
Do you want to read some of the text, John?
Yeah, let me read some of the text while you guys are here.
Someone
Go ahead, Julia.
Set up an education fund, Grandpa, Papa, for for your grandson. Oh, John is so on that.
I'm going to pretend that my daughter and son-in-law didn't hear that. Okay, go
ahead.
What else?
Bring your grandchild on the weekends. Sit down and spend time with them. Oh, I know you're going to do that.
For sure.
The older they get, the more expensive they get. Duh. Hello. We all know that. John, don't just try to outspend the parents.
Okay, I won't. That's a good idea. Good advice. I will not try to outspend the parents.
Too much hovering by some zealous grandparents in our culture. Togetherness is priceless. Aw.
The older they get, the more expensive they get. That's true. Small boys, small toys. Bigger boys, bigger toys, I suppose. By the way, as we're continuing the conversation for another minute or so, if you'd like to see a picture of beautiful Theo, text the word watch to 855-616-1620. You can see Theo.
We have many funny texters. This person said, congratulations, try not to let your grandchild grow up to be a liberal.
Well, he's going to be in New York, so we'll have to work on that.
Yeah. John, are you going to be the grandpa that has a dollar bill in your back pocket always or candy in his pocket?
Oh, well, probably the dollar bill would be cheaper these days.
Probably. True. True.
I have to go with the dollar
John,
bill.
Simply make them listen, spend time with them, and let them confide in you.
That's Aww. So sweet. Amy Walter, congratulations. I am proud of you. My heart is overflowing. I get tears in my eyes every time I think about Theodore.
And you haven't seen Theodore yet in person.
I haven't, just through FaceTime. So we'll be there on the 8th. We'll be there on the 8th. Save some cuddles. Don't let him use all his cuddles up.
Oh, he will have plenty, I'm sure.
Right. Yes, you will.
Please send more photos to John. I love looking at the photos.
Yep. Hey, I love you guys.
Love you too.
Love you too.
It is 4:56 at WTMJ.
What do you think, John?
That was such a nice surprise. You surprised me. That's such a nice surprise.
That's so sweet.
I was not expecting that at all. Look, I'm about to start crying.
Did you hear how tired they sound?
Yeah, and that's the first thing they said. Yeah. How are you feeling? Tired.
I know.
And their help went home today. So they're really going to be tired.
And everybody, fans of the show, know this, but they're twins.
Yep.
So her twin sister's been with her by her side. Oh,
the whole time she was there at the hospital. And now she's going home, so now they're going to get to do it on their own. Julia, thank you for the onesie, too. This is so cute.
I know, we got to get into Theo quick. He's already 21 inches.
Yeah, exactly. I guess we better get that out there. It is 4:57 at WTMJ.